Today is Daf Ayin Beis in Masechet Shabbat, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh. So we're still a little bit on the bottom of Ayin Alav Amud Beis, and we're on the last line, Omar Ula. We're almost finished that Daf, and let's just remember the very, very complex sugyas we've been talking about, and that was the question that we had of the machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Resh Lakish was the last thing that we were talking about. We weren't even sure exactly what the machlokas, where it applied. And the question was, what would be the meaning of a yediya that separated between two acts? We're going to have to ask everyone to please, Darren, please. There you go. We're going to, so the difference between two acts that you did behelim echad that had a yediya. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, if you found out about those acts separately, you would be chay of separate korbanos. And according to Reish Lakish, you wouldn't. But it turned out that things were not all that simple, because we weren't sure whether, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it was just the fact of finding out that made you chay of two separate chataot, or it was if you found out and separated a chatas and only then found out another one, that then Rabbi Yochanan would hold its mechalek. In which case, Reish Lakish would be saying, unless you actually brought the korban chatas and then found out about another act that you had also done of the same chait that was betoch halama achat, there, obviously, everybody agrees that you cannot be mechaper with a korban chatas on a chait that you didn't know about, even if it had been done together with a chait that you did find out about, because it's v'noda elav chatato. The Torah predicates havas chatas with the knowledge of the chait. So therefore, Reish Lakish says, the yediyah would only be meaningful where you had already brought the korban, and then you find out. There, of course, you would need to bring another korban. We're not quite sure, therefore, whether they're arguing, even if you were just mafrish, and Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish would agree only if you were just mafrish, Rabbi Yochanan, you don't have to. Or Dafka, in the case where they were already mafrish, Rabbi Yochanan is ready to say that you're chayav a separate korban, but not if you just found out about it. We're not sure. Okay. Now, taking this one step further, let's get some interesting background on another case. And the other case would be, since there are different types of korbanot asham, what would be the din of an asham toli on something that would be a chiev on an asham? Now, this is a really weird kind of situation. So suppose, we know there's certain things that you definitely have to bring an asham for. So let's say you're moel behegdash. You bring a korban asham and you pay your money to hegdash together with another fifth. Let's say an asham gezelot, where you had stolen money and you had sworn that you didn't, and that you didn't owe the money, and then you were made that, you also bring a korban asham. And there's one other asham that is definite, that somebody who sleeps with a shivcha charufa, which we paskin means she's a chatzi shivcha, she's a chatzi bat chorin, and she's married to someone who has a right to marry a shivcha. So she partially has a din of a married woman. So din over there is if you sleep with her, whether you do so bemazed, and this is going to turn out to be important, if you do so bemazed or you do so b'shogeg, it wouldn't matter. You would still bring a korban, and that would be the kapora for that act. Now, there's another asham, of course, which is the famous asham toli. The asham toli refers to a case where you did a suffic chait that was a chiev of korans. Let's say you ate a piece of chalev and you're not sure if it's kosher fat or if it is actually chalev. If it was chalev fat, so then you would be chayav karas, and then you would have had to have brought a korban of achatas, but you don't know. So since you don't know, there's a special korban that's called the korban osham talui. Maybe. It's an osham that's being brought up until such time as I find out. When I find out, I will then go ahead and bring my normal chatas. I certainly cannot be yotze bringing the osham talui and saying, well, I ought to bring a korban, so what the heck, let it be mechaper on, even if I did it for sure, because it's the wrong karma. Because an asham is an ayu, and the chatas that you have to bring is a female, either kisba or seora. And therefore, for sure, there's no way you could be yotze your korban chatas if you bring a korban asham. But how about if you did an act that was mechayev an asham vadai? So let's say you're not sure whether you were moel behegdash or not. Now there's a machlokus over there as to whether you need to bring an asham toloi. Okay. Now, if you hold, like Rabbi Akiva, you are chayev to bring an asham toloi even on the chait that would only have been mechayev you, an asham vadai. Question is, can you be yotze a korban with one korban? And this is what Rabbi Tarfon says to Rabbi Akiva. He says, Rabbi Akiva, if you're going to bring an asham toloi on your korban me'ila, then when you on your chait of me'ila, then when you find out about it, you don't have to bring another korban, because the korban that you already brought is exactly the same korban asham that you would have brought if you actually had done the me'ila. So what's the difference, says Rabbi Tarfon? What you should do is, you should bring one korban asham, and you should say, if it turns out that I never find out whether or not I did this me'ila, then this is my korban asham toloi. If ultimately I will find out that I did me'ila, then I'm bringing this for my me'ila. That way it's the same korban anyway, so you really can't lose. Now, of course, that beggars a question. Because what Rabbi Tarfon is saying, if he's saying you really can't lose, I mean, we ought to come back and say, but Rabbi Tarfon, a korban can't be mechaper if you didn't know that you did the chait. So how can you say if it turns out that? Ah, says Rabbi Tarfon, that's only by a korban chatas, where the Torah says, v'noda elav chatato asher chataba. But by a korban asham, it never says that. And therefore, when it comes to a korban asham, why bring two korbanos that are exactly the same, a korban ayil, one before you find out and one after you find out? Just bring one. And that way, if it's an asham toloi, it's an asham toloi. If it's the asham vadai, it's the asham vadai. Who cares? You don't need to know. Now, according to Rabbi Tarfon, what that means is that vis-a-vis the prior argument that we had yesterday between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, about what happens with the idiot if you find out about something, maybe before Afrasha, maybe after Afrasha, however we understood it, would have no applicability to the case of an Asham. Because an Asham, you don't have to know. So what difference does it make? That's obvious. But let me tell you something else. Remember that by the Korban Asham, even if you know that you are doing the Isser, you are still going to be bringing a korban, right? And the Torah says, beferish, and we learn this out of a pasuk in Krisus, that if you sleep with a shifcha charufa, knowing that it's usr, 100 times in a row, you'd still only bring one korban. So that one korban is mechaper for all of the acts. And that would mean that yediya would be irrelevant. Okay. Therefore, says Ula, if you hold like Rabbi Tarfon, Shmu, please mute. If you hold like Rabbi Tarfon, that there is no meaning to a Asham Toloi's knowledge, you don't need knowledge. So then, and before you bring the carbon, you don't even need to know that you did the chait. So then, even if you slept with an Shifcha Charufa, and you did this by accident, it was Bishogeg, and you did it many times, you would still only be Chayev once. Says Rav Amnuna, wait a second. I mean, I'm assuming you're talking about, like, even the case that we had where you found out about the Chatas, you set aside the Korban, and the Korban's already finished, it's there, you set it aside? Are you trying to tell me, I mean, according to that, what you would be saying is that setting aside a korban would need yediya in order for it to actually separate the acts. I mean, I don't get it. Suppose a guy, he sleeps with a shifcha charufa, right? He brings a korban, he gives it to the kohen, and he says, hold on, Cohen, because if you're going to be bringing this carbon, I'd like to have a little bit more fun. Let me go back, and I'll come back after a night of fun, and then we'll include all of that fun in one carbon. Could you please hold off? So are you saying that that's a good idea, and that would be okay? Because, I mean, that's what it boils down to. So you're saying a guy who is Baal, take out the word Chazaru Baal, a guy who sleeps with a Shivka Harufa, he sets aside the carbon, and then he says, but hold on, Amtinoli, wait, I've got more Be'ilais to do. So then he comes back 3 days later. He says, okay, now you can bring the carbon. So that's also good. And he'd only be chayev one carbon according to this. I mean, that's a real cheapo. But would that really be true? Oh, Marlena, wait a minute. Wait a minute. All I said was that yedia is not mechalik. That's all I said. Now, I never said that if you already mafresh a carbon, maybe if you're already mafresh a carbon, then a carbon cannot apply to something that you did after you were mafresh the carbon. That's not what I said. I only spoke about yediyah. Ma'isa d'lachar hafrasha lo kamin. I did not address a case like that. Now, let's put that aside for a moment. Rav Dini comes along and he tells us another din. That's nogeya shivka harufa. And he says like this. L'man di'omar, Hashem vadai does require a yediyah b'tchila. Now let's talk about Rabbi Akiva, not Rabbi Tarfon. So according to Rabbi Akiva, you cannot be mechaper on something that you don't know about b'shogeg when it comes to a korban chatas. Okay, when you come to a shivcha harufa and you were ba'al chamesh bi'ilot b'shivcha harufa, so then you would be chayev on every single one of those be'ilos. And according to this, when it says haba shivcha, it says you can be sleep with a shivcha many, many times, you only chayev once. Rav Dimi would understand that to mean, yes, that's if you did it on purpose. You're only chayev once because there's no problem over there whether you knew about it or you didn't know about it, because the Torah said even if you did it on purpose, you can be mitchaper. And therefore, the same thing would be true if you did, let's say, five bilas of a shivcha harufa, not knowing in between about the iser. But suppose, now I agree that in this case, we're not talking about finding out about the iser after you did it. That is not the issue. Because even if you did it b'mezid, you'd still only be high of one carbon. So that's obviously irrelevant, right? But the question is like this. Is the idea that's mechayev a carbon sufficient to be mechalik between the different acts of bia? So let's say I was over b'shogeg on the shivcha harufa. Now I find out that it's aser. So now I have to bring a carbon. Then I forget. Then I sleep again with the shivcha harufa. Then I remember. Then I'm chayev to bring the asham. The Ashram Vada. Then I forget. I sleep with her again, and so on and so forth. So the question is whether, if you hold that Yediyah is meaningful in terms of the Chatas, to be Mechalik even the actions ex post facto by my finding out about them, which is obviously irrelevant to the Shivcha Harufa, because over there it wouldn't matter if I slept with her purposefully five times in a row. But the question is there significance to Yediyah? So if there's significance to Yediyah, the way that Rabbi Yochanan holds in the issue of the Chatas, then there should be significance to Yediyah vis-a-vis the Shivcha Harufa, at least vis-a-vis separating the separate acts of Shogeg before they were done, and each one would be Mechayev me a separate karma. So this is amazing, because now we've got the issue of significance of Yediyah split between cases where it's enough to be Mechayev you, or a case like by Shivcha Harufa, where it's only enough to turn it into a non-Helem Echad. And if it's a non-Helem Echad, then you can't be Yotzi with one carbon. That's the beauty of this question. So what Rav Dini is saying, that if you hold that an Asham Vadai does require a Yediyah, like Rabbi Akiva, as opposed to Rabbi Tarfon, so then if you were bo chamesh b'yilot b'shivcha harufa, you would be chayev on each one. Says Abaye, what? What do you mean you'd be chayev on each one? That's not true. That was a machlokas. Even by a korban chatas, where for sure you definitely do need a idea, betchila, and I mean, it wasn't clear at all because it was machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan, and Reish Lakish, whether yediyah, qua yediyah, was sufficient to be mechayev you or not. And you're just going around saying that, well, yediyah is certainly enough to be mechalek you in the chiyav chatas, and therefore it should be enough to separate out the acts of the shivcha harufa. I don't get it. I mean, isn't it dependent in that machlokas? Now, he didn't even bother answering him. And he was just ishtik. He refused to even acknowledge the question. So Abaye understood that he had made some kind of dumb assumption in what Rav Dimi was talking about, because otherwise Rav Dimi would have answered. So Abaye turned around and said, maybe what Rebbe's talking about is a case where the yediyah b'maaseh de la'achar hafrasha ka'amet. In other words, the case that Rav Amnuna yelled at us before, what do you think I'm talking about, where you already set aside the carbon? Absolutely not. If you already set aside the carbon, that would definitely mean that you would have to bring a separate carbon for the next act. Maybe that's precisely the case that you're talking about. And what you're saying over here, that according to Rabbi Akiva, who says that you do require a yediyah, then that case itself would be dependent on the machlokas of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Because according to Rabbi Yochanan, yediyah for a chatas is sufficient to split it into two separate chiyuvim. So then over here, yediyah in between the acts is sufficient to separate it into two separate chiyuvim, but only because it's between the acts. Whereas according to Reish Lakish, that it was not sufficient, and this would be on the tzad, that the machlokas, Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, is talking about even if you were mafresh. And Rabbi Yochanan says only if you already brought the carbon would it be sufficient to be mechayev you separately. So then according to Reish Lakish, who holds the carbon is insufficient, a yediyah, even with a hafrasha, is insufficient to be mechayev you a separate carbon chatas ex post facto. So then pre facto, in this case, where you find out about it before the second act, it would not even be enough to be mechalek to tell you your mechuyev separate acts. That's even between one bia and the next. Okay? So it would be basically the equivalent of Elam Echad. If I ate two pieces of chalev Elam Echad, the din is I bring one korban. If I sleep with a shifra charufa behelam echad, but it's not behelam echad, you found out. Yeah, but finding out according to Reish Lakish doesn't mean anything. Only the actual bringing of the carbon. Oh, so then it is behelam echad. Precisely, it's behelam echad, and therefore you would only bring one carbon, exactly as if it were all done b'mezid, that you'd only bring one carbon. Okay, now these are two separate statements. They don't really refer to the same thing at all. We had Ula's statement, and we have Rav Dimi's statement. Omalein, that's exactly what I was referring to, he answers. Rav Dimi answers Abaye. Why do you ask dumb questions? Anyway, he also Ravin. Now, when Ravin came, he said, let me put this all into clear-cut focus for you. The way that you won't get confused is to remember that everybody is moda about a shivcha charufa, that there would be a difference. And of course, everybody is moda that there would not be a difference. And of course, when it comes to shivcha charufa, nobody's moda at all. They argue. Now, is it clear? Perfectly, Rav Dimi. Thank you. Whoa. What was that about? So, kiyosu ravin amar hakomo din b'shivcha charufa. Oh, you lost me? Everybody lost me? Ay, ay, ay. Starting from when?
Just the last few seconds, like the last 10 seconds or so.
All right, so I'll say it again. So Rav Dimi comes along to make everything perfectly clear. I want to make things perfectly clear, says Rav Dimi. Everybody is boda, both Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish is meida, that it doesn't matter whether there's the idea. And everybody is meida that it does matter that there's a yediyah. And everybody doesn't meida about anything because they argue. Now that we understand things clearly, we can move on to the next sugya. Except that it wasn't quite clear to me. So the Gemara is now going to explain what Rav Dimi means by his summary. So let's understand what he said. So Kiyata Ravin Omar, Hakom Odim B'Shivka Harufa, but Hakom Odim B'Shivka Harufa, but there's a Machlokas B'Shivka Harufa. So what he meant to say was like this. Hakom Odim B'Shivka Harufa, the Enochai of Ela Achat. That is meaning that whether you hold like Rabbi Yochanan or you hold like Reish Lakish, if you're going as Ula was going, Alibet Rabbi Tarfon, who holds that Yediyah is irrelevant when it comes to bringing a korban osham to osham at all. So over there, even Rabbi Yochanan would be made that according to Rabbi Tarfon, a Yediyah has no meaning because there's no place for Yediyah. That was the first part. So everybody's made that, even Rabbi Yochanan. Furthermore, Hakol Modim B'Shivka Harufa, everybody is made that in the case that Rav Amnuna pointed out, which is, you mean you already set aside the korban, and then you went ahead, and you want to sleep with her again? Over there, even Reish Lakish is made that if you had set aside the korban, then it would be meaningful, even by the case of Shivka Harufa. Because now you can't use that korban to be mechaper on something ex post facto. But there's also a machlokas when it comes to Shifra Harufa. Yes, absolutely. Because according to the Mandioma, who holds that you do need to have a yediyah, like Rabbi Akiva, so then the machlokas of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish will be very relevant. Because according to Rabbi Yochanan, he holds a yediyah is significant vis-a-vis achatas, right? So then if it's significant vis-a-vis Achatas, it will have even more significance vis-a-vis the Shivka Harufa. Because first of all, it will be considered a Yediyah to be Mechalik, the Chiv of the Korban Asham. Because according to him, you need a Yediyah for a Korban Asham also. Okay, so then it's Mechalik, the Ashamites. Furthermore, if I'm going around sleeping with this Asha, with this Shivka Harufa, and I don't know about it, then according to Rabbi Yochanan, if I find out between each intercourse, so then the Yediyah is meaningful. Whereas according to Reish Lakish, not only is it not significant to be Mechayev you a separate korban, even Alibet Rabbi Akiva, who holds that you do need a Yediyah in order to be Mechaper, but Reish Lakish says, now wait a second, a Yediyah without a Hafrosha is not enough to be Mechayev you. That's true. But according to Reish Lakish, that would even mean that if you find out between acts of Bia that this is Osir, the idea has no significance. It's all considered to be Be'el HaMechad. So what we have over is a beautiful expression of the extremism in the nature of Yediyah in the Machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish by bringing up this fascinating case specifically of Shivka Harufa, where we have a din that even the act B'mezid wouldn't matter if you knew the difference in between. Whereas when it comes to the shogeg, counterintuitively, it's possible to work out cases where each one of them will be mechayev you a separate korban, more chomor, therefore, than it turns out to be on the vada. Beautiful. Okay, so that clarifies to us. I mean, it's obviously a tangential point, but since it is all about the machlokas of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, I don't think, as Rashi points out, I don't think we would have fully appreciated the implications of that machlokas about the meaning of Yediyah unless we saw the way that it expands into the question of actually creating the difference between the halamas and not only the difference in creating the chiyuv of the korbanos. So it's a very important extension of the idea of the fundamental concept of yediyah. So please remember that. That's one of your fundamental terms. And over here, we've gotten down to basically two different interpretations of the concept of yediyah and how far it would make the consequences vis-a-vis osham and osham tole. Okay, very brilliant. You could see over here the way that the approach, the conceptual approach to something is so profoundly different that it sends out its consequences and implications in many areas that you wouldn't even have dreamt of. That's what allows the Gemara to always do these thought experiments. So what would be in this case? And then you understand, whoa, that means I didn't really understand what I was talking about, because I took a concept, I oversimplified, and now I don't know how it's going to work out in these more complex circumstances. Okay, so then I have to now rethink what exactly was my meant by my initial concept. Okay, itma. Now let's continue. Nitkaven lahagbiya et hatalush v'chatach et hamechubar. We are entering into a brand new, very complex area. And this is yet a new issue which has to do with the interface between Shabbos and all mitzvahs. When it comes to Shabbos, we're well aware of the fact that there's an idea called Malachas Bakshevas. We spoke about Malachas Bakshevas in terms of Adova She'eno Mitkavein, Machlokas Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Yehuda, Malacha that was Eina Tzricha Legufa, Machlokas Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Yehuda. But how about a different quality that may transcend Shabbos and make it not even part of our vocabulary when it comes to the dinim of Korban Chatas on anything at all? And that's called mitasek. And please write that down. Mitasek means you are busy. Busy doing something else. Now, we understand that by Shabbos, busy doing something else could include even a question of your intent was to do an act in a particular way. For instance, I'm throwing a baseball from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaRabim over Arba Amas in Rishus HaRabim, but I was throwing the baseball to the second baseman in the game. And what happens is that my ball falls short or it goes too far. Is that considered to be a malacha of Shabbos? It did not accomplish what I wanted to accomplish. It accomplished a hotzah of a baseball, but I didn't want to accomplish a hotzah of a baseball. I wanted to get a strike. So was that considered to be a malachas bakshabbos or not? Aha. Now that would be a unique to Shabbos application of the concept called misasek, possibly. We're not talking about that case. We're talking about a case where we have another complication, in which case even a misasek for Shabbos might indeed be called a malachas makshabbos. And what would that be? Well, a guy drops a knife, okay, and he drops a knife into a bunch of veggies, and what he wants to do is to pick up the knife. He closes his hand over a piece of vegetable and pulls it out of the ground. So his kavana was lagbiat talush v'chatach et hamechubar. So in that case, there was no intent whatsoever. We do not have to even consider this to be a Shabbos problem. This is a general problem that comes from the pasuk of v'noda lo achet asher chata ba. From there we learn that it's only if he was ba, only if he was, his mind was dedicated to doing that chet. Over here, there was no intent to do an act of picking something from the ground whatsoever, and therefore it doesn't even enter into the question of malachas makshavas. It wouldn't enter the question of any chet. That is not considered to be a shogeg. Now, how about another case? He was, had in mind, lachtoch et hatalush, v'chatach et hamechubar. How about if he bends down to cut some of the lettuce that was on the ground, and little did he realize that the lettuce that he chose was actually connected to the ground. Now, all he wanted to do was cut lettuce. Cutting lettuce is not ipso facto a malacha, but cutting lettuce that's attached to the ground is a malacha. So what is this act? Is this act a true malachas makshavas? Because I wanted to cut this lettuce, and I did cut this lettuce. Or is it considered to be, but wait a minute, I didn't want to cut something from the ground, I just wanted to chop a lettuce. So, I mean, in terms of the malacha, maybe the act I wanted to do 100% on the object that I ended up doing it. But is that considered to be a malacha? That's the question. So in that case, Rava Amar Patur, Abaya Amar Chayav. Rava says that is considered to be Patur because basically that is being mitasek in chopping lettuce as opposed to picking lettuce. And therefore, there never was any kind of involvement in a malacha whatsoever. And lo nitkaven lechaticha di isura at all. It wasn't a shogeg on Shabbos. I knew it was Shabbos. It wasn't a shogeg on the malacha. I knew absolutely that picking things from the ground is usur. I was doing something else entirely. And therefore, it's not included in the entire parsha. And therefore is not part of the din of shogeg at all. Abaya says, well, why not? You wanted to do the act that you were doing. You were mechaven for chaticha. The act that you were doing actually was connected to the ground. That's a shogeg. You didn't realize that you were going to be doing an act of picking on Shabbos. Omar Rava, no. I'll prove it to you that you're wrong. Minah minala, the Tanya. Take a look at this, and you explain to me how you understand this bright, okay? Chomer Shabbat Mishar Mitzvot, V'chomer Shar Mitzvot Mishabbat. Now here, the bright addresses directly this question of the difference between your kavana vis-a-vis Shabbat and your kavana vis-a-vis other mitzvot. So here's what it's going to tell me. This is exactly where I think, says Rava, we should look in order to get a deeper understanding of this interrelationship, okay? On the one hand, says the Brisa, Chomer Shabbat Mishar Mitzvot, because when it comes to Shabbos, if you do two separate Chilul Shabbos, and you do it Behel and Echad, you'd be Chayav on each one of them. Now, none of this makes sense. We're going to have to wait till we turn around and try to figure out what it's referring to. So if you do two Chilul Shabbos on Hel and Echad, you would be Chayav even without a Yediyah. You would be Chayav separately on each one of them. That's not true of any other mitzvah. But on the other hand, other mitzvahs are more Chomer than Shabbos. Because on other mitzvahs, if you do a shegoga without having any kind of kavana, we'll see what that means, you would be chayev. But by Shabbos, if you do a shegoga without having any kavana, you would be put. Now, I know that I haven't proven anything to you yet, Abaya, says Rava, but allow me to explain what this brisa is saying, and then you will see that you're wrong, okay? So let's take this brisa apart. Piece by piece. Omar Ma. Okay, so the Tana started off and he says, Shabbos is more chomer than any other Isser because somehow or other, if you went ahead, Behelem Echad, you were Mechalo Shabbos twice, you would have to bring a korban for each one. And that's certainly not the case of other things where you would eat, let's say, two pieces of chalev Behelem Echad. You wouldn't be chayev as separate chatas for each one of them. So tell me what the case is, okay? Where am I chayev twice for doing a chilul Shabbos twice? So if you're going to tell me that the case is, okay, let's say you did Kitzira and Techina, and since these are both different malachas, you didn't find out in between them the chayev, then nonetheless, since you had a shigagat malachot, you would be chayev two separate korbanos, one for Kitzira, one for Techina, our favorite example, right? Okay. Now, we're contrasting this to other mitzvahs. So give me the example of other mitzvahs where that wouldn't be true. So then, okay, I mean, the only example I can come up with is two separate things. I mean, look, Kitzira and Trina are two separate malachas that are mechayev, two separate korbanos. I mean, don't give me this jazz, but they're both called chilul Shabbos. I mean, that's a meaningless point. You did two separate isurim, okay? You did Trina on Shabbos, you did Kitzira on Shabbos. So you want to make a valid comparison to other isurim. You would have to be implying that if you eat chalev and dam, and you didn't realize that they were usur, so then you would bring that what? One karba? Ma pitom. You would be bringing two karbanas. I mean, hokatati mechayev hokatati becomes exactly the same as Shabbos. Comes to Shabbos, you have to bring two korbanos, one for Trina, one for Ksira. When it comes to other Isurim, you have to bring two korbanos, one for Chalev and one for Dam. So don't give me that case, okay? So tell me, what is the case we're comparing? Elo, you're going to tell me, I mean, the only case I know of in other mitzvahs where you're only Mechayev once for doing the Isur multiple times if it's when it's exactly the same Isur. Okay, so then the case for the other mitzvahs is you ate Chalev and then you ate Chalev again. And over there, you're only chayev once. Yeah. And Shabbos, you're chayev twice? I mean, the equivalent case by Shabbos would be what? A case where you did Kitzira, and then you did Kitzira again, and then you did Kitzira again, without there being a yediyah between them. Excuse me, but what's the halacha by Shabbos? There's no difference. Shabbos doing Kitzira, 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 then Chelev doing Chelev, Chelev, Chelev. It's exactly the same. Halama Akats is one carbon. Hachachodah Mechayev, Vahachachodah Mechayev, right? Okay, so now let's try to figure out, so what the heck is the Braita referring to? Okay, so then what we'd have to say is a case like this. You did Kitzira and Techina, and therefore you would be chayev two separate chataot. Lovely. And where is it different than other chataot? There's one place. There's one place where it's different. And where is that? That's when it comes to Avodah Zarah, and it would be going, it doesn't mean all other mitzvahs. It means there are other mitzvahs where this would be not true, which happens to be only one other case. So it's somewhat misleading, you must admit. But the one other case would be when it comes to Avodah Zarah, where it's possible to do various ways of Avodah Zarah. So as we know, we have the ability to be Menaseh. We have the ability to be Maktir. We have the ability to be Mishtachaveh. Oh my God, we got Ari into the show over here. Bruce, and I can't even look at the screen anymore. There's nowhere to hide. Not A2, Akiva. Oh. Yikes. Barnea, you've done me in totally. So, this would be going Aliba to Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Ami says, Zibach, Vikiter, Vinisech. Let's say, you shechted an animal. You put it on the Mizbeach, you pour out wine for Avodah Zarah, but you do all of this forgetting the Isser of Avodah Zarah, you would still be chayev only one chatas for all of these different ways of doing Avodah Zarah, and we learn that out of a pasuk. So as opposed to Shabbos, where each one of the different malachas of Shabbos is mechayev you separately, which is a big chumrah, when it comes to Avodah Zarah, it would not be mechayev you separately. Fine. Okay, excuse me, can you try to explain the Braita? Continue, please try to continue, because B'mayokim, how have you explained the Braita now? You said it's referring to Avodah Zarah. Well, maybe that works up to the midpoint. Now let's take the second part of the Braita. Ema Seifa, the second part says, but other mitzvahs have a bigger chumrah than Shabbos, because in other mitzvahs, if you did a shogeg without any kind of kavona, you would be chayev. Hashem came to Shabbos, you would not be chayev. Now, this has got to be assuming the same assumptions, that we're contrasting Avodah Zarah to Shabbos, right? Well, I'd like to understand what it means to do Avodah Zarah without any kavana. I mean, I understand what that means. I mean, if there was no kavana, what makes that Avodah Zarah exactly? I mean, what happens? Guy walks into this beautiful Beit HaKnesset, bows down with his full heart to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the Oren, except there was one problem. It was a church, and he was bowing down to the closet with the statue of Yashka in it, and so on and so forth. But he didn't know. So he had absolutely no kavana. I mean, how are you going to know the difference? Come on. So he had absolutely no kavana for Avodah Zarah whatsoever. So he
had that happened to me. I walked into a shul in Washington, D.C., and I'm coming, I'm signed it, and they say, oh, there's a cross. Oh, they sold it to a church, and they're reconverting it.
I hope you didn't bow down. So Elema, if he thought that it was a beautiful shul, and he goes and he bows down, and then he finds out, oh my God, it's a church. I mean, that's not an act of Avodah Zarah at all. You can't say going through the motions for Avodah Zarah when a guy is trying to daven Shmoneh Esrei. I mean, it's ridiculous. Harei libo l'shamayim? Why would that be even an act of Avodah Zarah? And he's bowing down to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's not going to be mechayev him. So that can't be the case. Okay, so then what would be the case? Yeah, I guess the case would be that he sees this andarta. And andarta are things that are put up by the government in honor of the king. So you've got this beautiful statue of George Washington, and he goes ahead and he bows down to the king. So you bow down to a statue of the king. I mean, what was he thinking when he bowed down? I mean, this guy may be a big weirdo who thinks that George Washington is God, and then he's makabel this statue as a god, but then he'd probably be put into an insane asylum, not into a korban chatas chiyuv. So what would be the case? If he was makabel the statue as a lord, so then that's amazing. What's the chatas? It's not a chatas. That's a chiyuv of koris. And if he just bowed down to the king, that's not considered to be avodah zarah at all. And there's no way that this would be chayev anything. Okay? So there's another possibility. The other possibility is that he bows down to this avodah zarah out of love or out of fear. So this means he had no intention whatsoever, the way most the Rishon, all the Rishon, not most the Rishon, the way all the Rishonim except the Rambam, this is one of the Rambam's most astonishing Piskei Halachas, but the way all of the Rishonim besides the Rambam learn is that it means over here that the guy was bowing down because he was terrified of somebody. He didn't believe in the Avodah Zarah. Somebody had a gun to his head, or he was completely in love, and his lover says to him, well, I can't make love with anybody who doesn't love my Lord. And so he goes ahead and he bows down to that Lord just in order to make his lover happy. But he has absolutely no interest. He's Bichlal an atheist. So he Bichlal has no interest in this nonsense. But it certainly has a lot to do with Znus, so he figured, what the heck, put it all together. So in that case, it would not be an act as well. That it's me av of a yira. Now, wait a minute. According to Abaya, and here's where we get into our issue. According to Abaya, he says that if you do that, and you did it b'mezid, and you were told do not do that, you would actually be chai of misa. And if you thought it was mutter to do it for that, then you would be chayav achatas. But according to Rava, who says that in that case, since you went ahead and did what you did out of love or out of fear, so then it wasn't your act, bichlal. And therefore, according to him, you would be putter. So then that can't be the case in which it's saying you're chayav achatas. Now, the Rambam disagrees vehemently with all of these psukim, all of these peskim, for the obvious reason. It's all very nice if you're talking about yira, and then the yira would mean that somebody's threatening your life, and then you thought that if somebody threatens your life, you're allowed to do avodah zarah, which you're not. But if you go ahead and do it, you're not going to be chayev. Fine. That's how Tosfos explains over here the problem of yira. But how did love get into it? I mean, that doesn't make any sense. What do you mean? You're doing it for love, and that's considered to be an onus? It's not your act, because after all is fair in love and war. What am I supposed to do? Things don't work that way. Therefore, the Rambam says the most astounding pshat. The Rambam says it's not talking about love or fear of a person. It's talking about love and fear of the idol. So according to Rava, if you're madly in love with this statue and you bow down to it, that's not called avodah zarah. That's called art. And art, by definition, is close to God. It has nothing to do with what the representation is. So if you're madly in love, then you can't call it avodah zarah. Is that amazing? The same thing is true. If you believe that this avodah zarah is definitely dangerous, and you better bow down to it because otherwise you're dead. Fine, you didn't believe in it in any way. It's just like bowing down to a machine gun and somebody's firing it. Okay, fine, I don't want to get shot. So that's not an act of avodah zarah, says the Rambam. That's the different thing. So that's what Rava is explaining. Everybody goes wild. What? Isn't that the greatest avodah zarah of all? Because you're worshiping out of pure love, and that would be keneged avedas Hashem out of pure love? But that's the point, that pure love is not the thing. Pure love is only existence. It's absolutely incredible, incredible Rambam. But okay. Now is not the time for us to discuss it. But so according to Rava, that we're talking about that case, then he can't be the one to be saying that over here that you would hold that you're chayav achatas, because you wouldn't be. There's only one possible case. That case would be where you are an omer mutter, right? All right, so we had that by Shabbos. Remember that the four categories of the Mishnah, we had the question, what would be the din of the Tinok Shenishba Ben Ha'akum or for the Gershnit Gayer? And says, I have no idea, I never heard of Shabbos in my life, okay? So then let's say that would be the case. We're talking about Omer Mutter. So you say that if you thought, I never heard, what do you want, man? I grew up, you know, in the bush. Everybody was worshiping the big pineapple. You know, so I bow down to the big pineapple too. Nobody ever told me there's a problem just because I became a ger. Remember, as the Rambam says, just because I became a ger doesn't mean anybody told me that I'm not allowed to go to church at a big pineapple anymore. So if somebody didn't tell me, I didn't know. How was I supposed to know? That was the Rambam's wonderful chiddush, which we paskin like, that when you become a ger, you do not have to know that God exists and you do not have to know that you're not allowed to go to church. Fine. So then if that's the case, the guy's worshiping the big pineapple, and that would be Potter. Masha Inken, you're saying, but on Shabbos, you couldn't say that. Wait a minute. On Shabbos, you couldn't say that? On Shabbos, over there, you're saying that he's a shogeg, but on Shabbos, he wouldn't be a shogeg? He would be Potter completely? But that's not what we said before. We said before, the question is whether you're high of one chatas, you're high on all of the Shabbatot, you're high of two separate chataot, if you also didn't know that the malachas were usher, but nobody said that you're not high of at all. So how could you possibly explain the brayta that way? So the only thing that Rava asked Rav Nachman is, what about if you have two separate shigogos? But nobody suggested that you wouldn't be chayav at all. Tell me then what the connection is between the two parts of the Braita. I do not understand where we're going to be able to contrast Avodas Kochavim with Shabbat in the Sefer of the Braita, okay? So he's going, look, you're right. Nobody's going to be able to figure this one out. So obviously the second part of the Braita is not following the same case as the first one. Listen, man, when we said the Shabbos is more chomer than other mitzvahs, and then I tried to tell you, it doesn't really mean other mitzvahs, it means some other mitzvahs. And it doesn't mean some other mitzvahs, it means some other mitzvah. Okay, so you let me get away with that, yeah? So then why in the Sefer when you're saying, and other mitzvahs are chomer than Shabbos, all it means is some other mitzvah. That doesn't mean it has to be the same mitzvah. We were talking about Avodah Zorah before, and now we're talking about something else. Okay, so therefore, it's something else. So the first part was talking about Avodas Kochavim. Yes, that worked out because it was the only case that we could find where you could do the same issur in many different ways and only be chayav one. The Sefer, with this contrast, is saying that there's something that is more chomer about Shabbos with some other mitzvahs. And what would that be? Not the same ones as I was talking about before. And it would mean this. And finally, we get to where Rav is trying to prove Abaye wrong. Because the way that we understand the last part of the Braisa would mean this. In a case, it says, if you're shogeg below mitkaven, bishar ha-mitzvot, that you would be potter, as opposed, what would be the din? Shogeg below mitkaven, bishar kol ha-mitzvot, hechidoni. So over there, you're saying that you would be chayav as opposed to Shabbos, okay? What would be the case? Let's take a case. You thought a piece was a piece of kosher fat, and you eat it. And then it turns out that you had eaten chalev, all right? Now, you're saying now, Masha ein kein b'Shabbat, that this is not true with Shabbos because you would be potter on Shabbos. So what case are we talking about over here? Someone who was mitasek, and he was in mitasek in eating food, right? Not like a normal case. A normal case of a shogeg would be, I thought that this type of thing was kosher fat, but it wasn't kosher fat. It was chalev. That's hard to know the difference. Or I didn't know that there was an iser chalev. Now I found out there's an iser chalev. Fine, whatever. But that's not the case over here. Case over here is that I am calmly chewing on a piece of what I think is steak. Now, it turns out I was eating chalev. I was being mitasek in something else. I was being mitasek in eating chalev, in eating shuman. Now it turns out I was actually eating chalev. And it's saying over here that when it comes to Shabbos, I would be potter for doing that, even though I'm chayev in other things. Okay, what would be the case? Ah, my case, ha-ha, says Rava. That's the case. The case is that the guy was doing exactly what he wanted to do, okay? He was cutting lettuce. So why isn't that the same thing as over here, where he was chewing, not steak, but chelev, and he would have to bring a carbon on the shigaga? Because when it comes to Shabbos, if he was mitkaven lachtoch et ha-talush, and instead he was chatach et ha-mechubar, you see from here that you would be potter because it's mitasek. And why would it not be potter because it's mitasek for eating the case of chelev as well? That's a different issue. And that is addressed by Shmuel. Everybody knows that. We're not even going to bother talking about it in the Gemara. And that issue is that there is no such thing as mitasek when you're having fun. Because fun itself directly addresses your senses and therefore speaks to your neurons in an even more powerful way than your consciousness or your knowledge about something speaks to your neurons. So therefore, according to Shmuel, you could be sleeping with someone and having a ball with someone that you thought was mutter, and the fact that it's the wrong person is irrelevant, because while you're having fun, you are not a mitasek. And you could be chewing on what you thought was a steak, and it turns out to be something else, but are you having fun? Yes. Are your neurons lighting up? Yes. Then forget about mitasek. By definition, that cannot be mitasek. But when it comes to chopping lettuce, it's difficult to believe that your brain is alive with all types of amazing fun at lettuce chopping. So therefore, when it comes to Shabbos and the Isser Shabbos, so over there you see that I'm right, that if you were mitkaven lachtoch et ha-talush v'chatach et ha-mechubar, you would be potter. So now you, Abaye, are in big trouble, because you have no way to explain this braita in a way that will suitably distinguish between eating chelev and being mechalel Shabbos, unless you admit that there's a concept called misasek. Says Abaye, well, of course there's a concept called misasek, but it's not what you're saying. I would say the case is like this. A guy coughs up what he thinks is a bunch of phlegm, where actually there was a piece of chelev in his mouth. He swallows it thinking that he is swallowing his saliva. So kasava roku. Now, swallowing saliva is not called eating at all. So therefore, the person never intended to eat. That's completely different. In this case, he intended to chop lettuce. The act is the same act. So when it says Masha Inkein b'Shabbos, yes, Masha Inkein b'Shabbos would be a case where you wanted to pick something up that was detached from the ground, and what you ended up doing was you lifted it, and that was the original case where you had the knife, and when you lifted the knife, which all you wanted to do was lift up the knife and put it on the table, the knife sliced the lettuce off of the ground. So there you weren't being mitasek in doing even the act that turns out to be the act of Isser. Now, that, of course, is not considered to be an act of Chilul Shabbos. But in your case, so there he would be potter. But in your case, if he was nitkaven lachtoch et ha-talush v'chatach et ha-mechubar, I still claim that he's chayev. Okay, so now this gives us a basic overview of the issue of nisasek as it applies to Shabbat, and as it applies to other Isurim. It's a very, very basic take. But nonetheless, it served as a good introduction, this Machlokas Abaye v'Rava. And remember that we also had Shmuel, which is an important Musag, that is called Shekein Ne'eneh. That should be written down. A Shekein Ne'eneh always obviates a Misasek, because it speaks directly to you, and therefore Misasek becomes irrelevant. Those are the issues that we've had until now, except that I also introduced you outside of the Gemara to the other very important idea of Misasek, which is the baseball that goes to the wrong base. So over there, we're going to find that Shabbos's concept of Nisasek extends to doing a malacha where the malacha wasn't done the way you wanted it to be done. And therefore, we're going to need to understand the way in which that misasek, which is unique to Shabbos, impacts this misasek, which is an understanding of the nature of the pasuk that says, chet asher chata ba, and therefore is applicable all over the Torah. This is one of the very big sugis in Shas, the dinim of misasek by other things, as is an eno miskaven by other things, and the difference between them and the Melechus Shabbos, unique application of the same sugis.